Red Letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
Sunlight streams through foliage in a black and white jungle. An orange and black striped tiger emerges from the underbrush. Its face morphs into a graphic design. Mandalay Pictures. Sea and clouds are bathed in hues of pink and purple as waves lap a beach at brilliant sunrise. Words appear, well entertainment. New York City at night. Carol narrates.
Everyone's heard of the city that never sleeps. What about the mothers who never sleep because their boys move to the city and never call? This is a story about three such mothers and their three sons.
Oh, stop the cab, stop the cab.
Three men and two women in a stopped cab.
Look where we are.
You guys are such profound assholes.
It's time, Daniel.
All right, I know. I don't know. I'm still deciding.
You decided. You got a ring.
Yes.
You're getting engaged.
Yes. Right now? Isn't that fantastic?
I'm not asking Aaron to marry me tonight drunk with girls in the car. No offense.
Come on, Daniel.
I mean, hello, we're going back.
See, I love you, but get out.
The men in their 30s get out in front of an apartment house.
Come on.
Look, you were happy with Aaron. Happier than I've seen you since sixth grade.
Dude, remember when you said you'd have your first novel finished by the end of the year? Three ends of the years ago?
Horrible pep talk. These are the facts.
She's hot, and I'm gonna do it if you don't.
Really?
It's actually a better pep talk.
Aaron!
All right.
Baby!
No. Watch.
Aaron!
This, by the way, is why we don't all hang out anymore.
Listen to me, okay?
This would be romantic. This is the story that she's gonna tell your kids. She's gonna say, that's the night that he stormed up the stairs and got down on one knee, and you asked if she would marry you. That is novel material.
Novel material.
It would be a pretty great story.
Carol narrates.
We were there for every big life event, and now we're lucky if we hear about anything at all.
Dark-haired Daniel runs upstairs, then stops outside an apartment door to study a diamond ring in a velvet box. He enters the apartment to see a naked man rummaging through the fridge.
Aaron!
Daniel?
A slender blonde woman comes from the bedroom in underwear.
What the fuck?
Carol narrates.
There's a lot you don't know as mothers. In fact, that's what bonded us when the boys' friendship launched our friendship on a playground. In Poughkeepsie.
Netflix presents a Mandalay Pictures production, a Well Entertainment production. The word motherhood appears. Then the M drops away, leaving the title Otherhood.
We've been through so much together. Graduations, proms, skin knees, emergency room visits, family vacations, bad days, bad jobs, and at every scary and unfamiliar stage, the answer was always friends.
In a country house, a blonde in her 50s sits at a piano with a boy.
That's Jillian. She still has kids in the house. They're just not hers.
Husband Joel.
Why are you teaching today?
It's just one lesson. He wants to play this later for his mother. He still likes her.
Daniel texted you already.
Nothing says I don't want to talk to you like a text. He said he misses us.
That's nice.
It's a lie.
But it's a nice lie.
An elegant woman with streaked brown hair plucks a gray strand from her brow.
And that's Helen. She never ages, at least not publicly.
A chic, ultra-modern mansion.
Frank, I have to run a few errands before I go to Carol's.
Would you tell her that I could sell her house tomorrow if she'd just give me the listing?
Are you spray painting the top of your head again?
I'm tall enough so no one even sees it.
Unless you're sitting. Carol talks a good game, Frank, but she will never sell that house. You'd have to sell it with her in it.
Carol narrates.
The three of us don't see each other as often as we used to. The boys are gone. Husbands have come and gone. But one tradition remains.
Helen and Jillian arrive at Carol's house.
I'm so glad we're still
happy
doing
Mother's
this.
Day. Without husbands and kids, it might actually be fun.
I brought donuts.
An affluent two-story home.
I brought bourbon. Like, I'm really going to drink a mimosa. It's Mother's Day.
I knew I should have Ubered.
Guys, I think the guy at the liquor store was flirting with me.
Oh, no. I can't remember the last time someone flirted with me.
I bet it happens all the time. You're just not flirting back.
Why do you flirt back? You're married.
Oh, my marriage isn't as perfect as yours, Jillian. Besides, flirting is not cheating. It's just a little pick-me-up for your ego. It keeps you in shape, sexually speaking.
Ah, so it's sexercise.
Yes, women should sexercise daily.
Oh, terrific. Another thing that I'm not doing.
Come on, there's nothing you're not doing. Look at this spread. You're always volunteering.
Oh, please. I teach art in a retirement home 2 days a week. I'm hardly Mother Teresa.
And look at your house. It's spotless.
A key to a clean house, dead husband. Oh, God. That came out much darker than I intended.
Oh, that's a great household tip.
What is with these flowers? Come on, they get bigger every year. Did Matt send these?
Yes, delivered this morning.
Matty is the perfect son. He never forgets. Is he dating anyone?
Oh, he doesn't have time. He's helping to launch some new sports magazine. So he just works out, and sleeps, so he says.
No, Paul is the same way. He never mentions dating anyone.
God, I wish Daniel would date someone other than that Erin. She's not good enough for him. I told him that.
Ooh, and how did that go? Yeah.
He unfriended me.
See? Now that's why I'm not on Facebook.
A photo of three young boys.
Oh, remember how cute they were? Remember how cute we were? When did I turn 50?
Oh, several years after I did, so shut up and enjoy your youth.
Oh, I love that with us, we don't have to lie about our age.
I love with us, we don't have to lie about anything. Look, I just polished off a whole donut in front of you two. I didn't even pretend to only want half. Come on, that's friendship.
Oh, you are so right.
African-American Carol has dark hair pulled back into a bun.
I sent myself the flowers.
A large vase of blue irises.
Been doing it for a while now. And each year it gets more and more depressing, so I get bigger and bigger flowers.
Well, you don't include a note, do you?
Oh, I would not write my own. Yes.
What did the note say this year?
You are the best mother ever.
Yes.
Well, you are.
What son forgets Mother's Day?
Well, what kind of son sends a Mother's Day text?
Pass the bourbon.
Come on, lazy. Buy me some bath salts. Is that so difficult?
A candle. A frame. Something.
I should have sent myself flowers. It's brilliant.
Daniel can't call me from Long Island City. God, I have a girl for him to meet. I'm a little jerk won't even call me back.
Paul stopped hearing about me when I married Frank.
Matt hasn't been home since funeral. And he barely came home for that. Stayed 16 hours, and he wore sneakers.
They were nice ones. They were Gucci.
What did we do wrong?
We did everything right. That's what we did wrong. I mean, we raised our children to be free-thinking, independent beings, and now they don't need us anymore.
Well, they're going to need us again when they have kids. When we're grandmothers.
I don't want to be a grandmother, but I would like one Mother's Day card.
Motherhood. That sinking feeling that as your child's growing up, that you're being broken up with on a gradual but daily basis. It's inhumane emotional waterboarding.
That is the best description of motherhood I have ever heard.
Mm-hmm. Well, at this stage, it doesn't feel like motherhood. It feels like otherhood.
Oh, my God, you're so right.
I don't want to be an other.
Well, me neither. But what are we going to do, drive to Manhattan, storm their apartments? Nah, we gotta respect their space, let them individuate, blah, 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 blah. Except, it's fucking Mother's Day.
They exchange mischievous looks. Next, they load Carol's rolling suitcase into the back of Jillian's orange Volvo station wagon. Later, Helen tosses a designer bag in the rear and gets in the back seat with a traveling cup. Then Jillian throws a colorful tote bag in and gets behind the wheel. They all sing and dance in their seats as the car travels along a scenic coastal highway. These boats are made for walking.
Hear us, boys?
Tappan Zee Twin Cable Bridge over the Hudson River.
What was wrong with the old bridge? You keep
losing when you had an advantage. She was sagging. A little.
Everyone sighs. You gotta be changing. They drive into the heart of the city. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these
days, these boots are gonna walk all over you. I think the bourbon just wore off. Have we really thought this through?
What if the boys don't want to see us?
Mother is not just a noun, it's a verb. It requires action. You're in that someplace.
We'll have teach on Tuesday.
Just call in sick. That's what I did for the first time in ever. I brought 5 clean pairs of underwear. Hey, I might be sick all week.
All week? Well, how long do we stay?
So we feel like mothers again.
Why can't we feel like mothers from a hotel room?
Now that is a valid question.
We're not on vacation. We are on a mission, and they can deal with having us in their homes for a few days. They were in ours for 18 years.
They drop Carol at a warehouse apartment complex.
You got this, champ. Go in and call us when you're in.
Julia, I can't do this. I can't.
You
can't.
We're
really great. Let's talk about this. Yeah, you
love her. Don't take no for an answer.
Make him love you.
They leave her at the curb with her suitcase and drive off. Next, she reluctantly pushes an intercom button at the entrance.
Yeah.
Hi, I just happened to be in the neighborhood. I'm downstairs. It's your mother.
An elevator opens in Matt's large open concept studio apartment. Wearing just shorts and cleats, the muscular black man sips a bottle of water and peers into the empty elevator. He crosses to a door and opens it to find Carol standing there.
Mom, what are you...
Just missing you today.
Shit. It's Mother's Day.
Oh, is it?
I was gonna call.
Can I come in?
Yeah, oh, of course. Please. I sent the elevator.
Oh, it's just 5 floors.
Well, can I get you something?
Well, you didn't even hug me.
No, caught me off guard.
He puts the water down, hugs and kisses her.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom.
Let's just sit.
Yeah. Let's just put this over here.
Clearing a space on a black leather couch, he uncovers a pair of pink panties. They exchange looks, then he quickly tosses them away. He pulls on a t-shirt and they both sit down. He smiles questioningly and holds her hands.
I've been thinking about our relationship, and I don't think we have one.
What? Mom, you are my mom. How could we not have one?
What's my favorite flower?
We have a relationship.
Then tell me something about me.
Okay. There are 1,000 things that I know about you.
Irises.
I knew that.
I want to stay for a few days.
What? No, Mom. I mean, why?
Because you still live like a 15-year-old, sweetheart. I mean, look at this mess. I'll clean while you think of 10 things that you honestly know about
me. Okay, Mom. 10.
It's gonna take me days to get this place in shape.
I have a woman for that.
Well, how often does she come? Biannually?
She collects her suitcase from the hallway. Meanwhile, Helen totters along a sidewalk in a pleasant neighborhood with her designer bag, a large purse, and her recently refilled drink cup. She pauses to watch a dark-haired, dapper young man enter a townhouse. Then she downs her drink and pops the empty cup in her purse. She flips back her shoulder-length hair and climbs a few steps to a red door. Her hand hovers over the doorbell, then she turns around and props herself in the doorway. She quickly descends the stairs and hurries away. Meanwhile, Jillian sits in her car with her phone to her ear.
Hey, it's Daniel Lieberman. I'm guessing you know what to do.
She disconnects and looks across at a tenement house with barred windows and young men hanging out on the stoop. At night, Helen answers her phone in a high-end hotel room.
Oh, God.
While talking to Carol, she takes some pills and downs a drink.
Did you get in?
Yeah, I got in.
Tell me something. Does Paul have drapes? Matt has 75 pair of
brand new sneakers, but no drapes.
Yes, Paul has drapes. Listen, would you mind if I called you back tomorrow?
Oh, yeah, sure. Sorry. Enjoy.
Okay, yeah, I will. Good night, honey.
Now, Jillian is calling from a discount hotel. During the conversation, Helen empties a mini liquor bottle into her glass.
Just stop. Oh. I'm a coward, okay? Hey! Hey!
Thank you.
How's it going with Paul?
Good. Paul has been, very gracious.
He just poured me a drink.
Well, how's it going with Daniel?
I'm gonna go by in the morning. Daniel's not answering the phone. I think he's got that caller ID thing.
But I'll tell you this, Long Island City is the place to go if you want to be stabbed. Because I was terrified to get out of my car.
Hey, have you heard of this place, the Hudson Hotel?
It's where Joel got the best rate.
Oh, yeah, it's supposed to be cool.
It's really cool. I mean, it's more like a club than a hotel.
Bellboys are gorgeous.
Jillian, you scamp.
I'm gonna ambush
Daniel when it's light.
Oh, listen. It is okay that you decided to wait. It's a difficult thing to do. I don't blame you.
Oh, hey, can you tell Paul that I say hi?
Jillian says hello. Paul says hello back.
Well, all right, sweet dream.
Okay.
Night, hon.
Good night.
Helen hangs up, then flops face down on the bed with an open can of potato chips in hand. In daytime, downtown streets are abuzz with yellow cabs, trucks, buses, and pedestrians. Well-appointed kitchen, Carol stands at a granite counter whisking batter. He rounds the corner, notices her, and quickly fastens a towel around his waist.
I found some sausages in your freezer. Took the skillet I gave you for college graduation out of the box.
I don't eat breakfast.
You used to eat breakfast. Most important meal of the day.
Yeah, according to Dad. And whoever said it originally. Probably someone involved in the cereal business.
He opens the fridge and drinks juice from a carton.
I need to get dressed and get to work.
Oh, well, don't let me stop you.
He hovers over her.
Those banana pancakes?
Mm.
Oh, I guess one wouldn't kill me.
Helen rings the townhouse doorbell, then stands before the red door, adjusting her hair and clothes. A short, dark-haired, middle-aged man named Calvin comes rushing out.
It's after 8.
Hi,
you're late, and if you touch anything on my desk, you're fired. Understand?
I'm here to see Paul.
He'll pay you. Andre! Don't mess up.
Okay.
He hurries away. She enters and looks around sheepishly. The dapper young man she saw the day before approaches, wearing a crop top and shorts.
Hi.
Hi.
You're the new housekeeper.
I'm Paul's mother.
He gapes at her.
I'm Helen.
Right, yeah, sorry. Hi, I'm Andre.
Hi.
Nice to meet you.
Are you Paul's boyfriend?
I'll see if he's dressed. I just made some coffee.
I'd love some coffee.
Please join me.
He leads her through the elegant and stylish house, then pours coffee in the kitchen.
Paul never officially came out to me, you know.
Did you ever ask?
It wasn't my place to ask. It was his place to tell. I'm sure at some point he knew I knew, but we never, you know, talked about it.
Well, my parents are visually deaf. I mean, hello.
He gestures to his outfit.
What do you do, Andre?
As little as I can get away with. Oh. He never alters his pattern. I can tell by the creaks in the floor when he's about to come downstairs.
Oh.
Oh, my God, I owe you a blowjob.
Your mother.
Your mother.
Surprise!
Hey.
Mom.
Matt's place.
I know it doesn't make any sense for me to try to maintain that house. It's in constant need of repairs. No one's even been in the pool since your father died.
So just sell
it. But we've been there for 20 years.
I haven't.
He didn't want me to be alone, and I don't want to be, but the mattress, it sags where your father slept. And I keep thinking, you know, maybe I should just buy a new one. But if I did that, then the mattress wouldn't sag where your father slept.
Jillian knocks at Daniel's ground-level apartment, her dyed blonde hair draping her loose-fitting clothing. Daniel answers in shorts and a t-shirt, his thick hair and beard uncombed.
Well, that's a nice greeting for your mother.
What's a nice greeting? I didn't say anything.
That's what I'm talking about.
Are you and Dad fighting or something?
I came to see if you were okay.
I'm fantastic. You, want a screwdriver or something?
Are you trying to make me cry?
Can you not threaten me with feelings, Ma? Just don't worry about me. Your life is your life and mine is mine.
He makes a vodka and orange juice.
Stupidest thing I've ever heard. If everyone was just here for themselves, life would be pointless.
Life is pointless.
Children, give your life meaning. You are the point of my life, Daniel. Please don't make me question my existence.
Oh my God, Ma, what are you doing here?
Really? That's where we are? I drive for hours and hours, and the first thing you say is, what are you doing here?
It wasn't the first thing I said. It was the last thing I said.
Okay.
She takes a sip of his drink.
I'll go. You don't want me? I'll go. I'll just get my bag.
I'm not saying I don't want you. I'm just wondering why you didn't call me first to tell me you were coming.
You didn't call me on Mother's Day. I'm not holding that against you.
I texted you.
I birthed you. Anyway, that's not why I'm here. I found you a nice Jewish girl.
You weren't even Jewish.
I converted for you.
Yeah, you converted for Dad.
Yes, so we could raise our kids as Jews. So stop dating the shiksas.
She cleans up some wine bottles.
Are you talking about Aaron?
Aaron, what kind of name is that? It's like the leftovers of a Scrabble hint.
Mm-hmm. That's a character flaw now, her name? You met her once, you barely even spoke to her. You never even gave her a chance.
I saw her social media. Lot of margarita nights. She's a drinker.
I'm a drinker.
You're a thinker. You use alcohol as a coping mechanism.
That's the definition of alcoholism.
You're an intellectual. She's a hairdresser.
Hairstylist, and so what?
So let her style your hair, but don't procreate with her.
That is so classist and offensive, and it's over, so why don't you just move on, okay?
I have. Remember the Grimers? Ivan and Joan.
No.
On the corner. They had that horrible little shih tzu that bit you when you were six.
I remember the dog.
Well, Joan's sister has a nephew by marriage in Yonkers. And he gave me this number of this brilliant woman from his temple. She's just been through a painful divorce, which apparently was not her fault at all.
Okay, good to know.
And she is a beautiful person. She's friends with his wife.
Oh, my God, Ma, you've never even met her, have you?
I saw her social media. She is smart. She did a beach cleanup. Daniel, she's starting to think about dating again. We got to get in there fast. When I reached out to her, I told her that you were nearby and in a similar boat. She said she would love to hear from you.
Why have you done this?
Her name is Allison. She graduated from Brown. She has a political science degree. She does something in television.
Okay, let me get this straight. You want me to go on a date with this woman based on the fact that she attends Temple with some guy in Yonkers who's somehow related to the woman whose dog bit me when I was a kid?
You can't hold that horrible dog against her.
I'm not talking about the dog, Ma. I'm talking about your insanity.
Ooh, good shot. Have you had a date since you've lived here? I don't think this apartment is helping at all. It's like you're living in Gollum's cave.
Okay, Ma, thanks for the dating advice. Please just leave it, please.
I'm not leaving New York until you call her.
You can't force me to go on a date with someone.
I call it prodding. Gentle little nudge. Okay, I'll be back. Supper time. I need my mace and my keys. I'll be back. Alive. Hopefully.
She spritzes the air and slaps a sticky note on his knee before leaving. He picks up his phone and dials the number on the note.
Hi, is this Allison? It's Daniel Lieberman. My mom said I should call you.
The three mums take a stroll.
So, Paul lives with his Andre?
Yes, and some other people. It's kind of great. It's sort of a group home for gays. There's an older Wall Street guy that owns the place and a tiny man who's very abrupt. And I told Andre I was going to cook for the whole gang.
You cooking? That's more shocking than your son coming out.
Oh, Well, apparently he's been completely out to everybody but me.
Oh, honey, you just assumed you knew.
I did know.
Oh, we all knew.
No, I didn't. Why am I the last to get the memo?
You're not. Larry is. He had one foot out the door by the time Paul was in high school, so I thought, I'm gonna let him find out by himself. You know, his only son. It's gonna drive that closed-minded, lying dickhead crazy.
All right, Larry, can we talk about something else?
Absolutely. How's Daniel?
It's worse than I imagined, and that's never happened to me before. I under-worried.
Well, all the more reason for you to leave your hotel and move in like Helen and I did.
Yeah, I'm in a hotel, too.
Oh, what?
Yes, I know what I said. But, you know, Paul's got his plate full, and he doesn't need a house guest on top of it, you know? So he forgot Mother's Day. Big deal.
Big deal?
Yeah.
What, you got me drunk and made me come here? But seriously, how do you live in this town and forget Mother's Day? Mother, Mom, Mama, Mutter, Madre, Mama.
Words in a window display.
This is Joseph.
Look at these cute bags. Let's go in.
No, Paul does, Joseph. He did these windows. I am so moving in with that fucker.
A mid-30s woman wearing a blonde bob and a buttoned-up shirt seeks out Daniel in an Asian bistro.
Hi. Are you the famous writer?
Either my mom exaggerated or you're meeting someone else.
I'm Allison.
Daniel.
Hello.
Hi.
You write for The New Yorker. That's pretty famous.
I don't write for The New Yorker.
Oh, I thought your mom said that you did write for The New Yorker.
The New Yorker published one short story of mine 4 years ago.
Yay!
Resulted in a very small book deal, but as of yet, no book.
Oh.
The rest of my work, if you can call it that, is in literary journals no one's ever heard of.
No, I might have heard of them.
No, you haven't.
Come on, tell me.
The Willacoochee River Journal.
No.
I know, it's funny,
no,
right?
No, you're making that up.
I wish I could make that up. Sadly, that is nonfiction. That is my life. My mom should talk less.
Yeah, but if your mom talked less, we wouldn't be here right now. So, you know, thank God for your mother, right?
After dark, Jillian knocks at his apartment door.
Daniel! If you're there and you're pretending you're not, I'm never talking to you again. Or maybe that's what you want. Daniel!
She yanks on the barred window gate and it swings open.
What? God, this is totally unsafe.
She opens the window easily.
Oh, come on. Open.
Reaching through, she puts a shopping bag and her giant purse on the kitchen counter. Then she climbs inside.
Come on, old girl.
You still got it.
She pulls the gate shut, turns on a light, then looks at the floor and jumps back. Now the townhouse kitchen.
So you lived in New York?
Did I ever? I worked in fashion at the time. I met Paul's father at Studio 54.
No.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Oh, yes, and ridiculous. You're supposed to have sex with people you meet there, do drugs with them, not marry them. I think Larry fell in love with me for my looks and just tolerated me for everything else. Does that sound terribly vain?
Look who you're talking to. I'm window dressing for a window dresser.
But you two are happy?
Yeah. He says he'd like me to be older or flabbier so that when he leaves for work, he won't have to wonder if I'll be here when he gets home.
Andre drinks white wine while Helen prepares food.
Since when is Paul so insecure?
Eh. He gets that from you.
Realizing he is serious, she is taken aback.
You were preoccupied between husbands, dating, hosting charity events. I mean, you were hurt after the divorce, right? Lost, I get that. But he felt a little abandoned.
She frowns pensively.
Well, he never told me that.
Paul arrives, hey. Satchel over his shoulder, fair hair in a ponytail.
Hey!
There he is.
Hi.
Hey.
Andre kisses his cheek.
Are you cooking?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
She smashes a pepper. Back to the bistro.
I was falling out of love with him, but really, I thought I was falling out of love with myself. Do you know what I mean?
No, not really.
Oh, okay. Think of yourself as an egg.
Okay, why?
Because the egg is you, okay? It's your self-love, it's your self-worth. You're the egg, right? So good love presses on the ends of you, you know? But what happens when you press on the ends of an egg?
I don't know.
Nothing. Good love challenges the egg, it puts pressure on the egg, but it allows the egg to stay whole. But what does it take to turn good love into bad love?
an expiration date?
No. The egg twists, okay, that's it. Now suddenly the pressure is on the sides of the egg, okay? And then what happens?
We break the egg analogy.
Oh yeah. Yes, Daniel, it breaks, all right. So who broke your egg, Daniel?
Flashback to Aaron's apartment.
I waited 5 weeks.
To bang your trainer?
5 weeks, without a word. Felt like you were happy for the chance to walk away.
She returns the ring.
I came to tell you that I decided. I always thought I had to finish my novel first or make something of my life. And then I finally realized all I ever wanted was you and for us to be together and maybe one day have children. And that would be the purpose of our lives, the best thing that we'd ever do.
He meets her eyes and she nods.
I was wrong.
No.
Daniel.
Back to the bistro.
Who broke your egg?
He sighs heavily.
Okay, look, Allison.
Yeah.
I'm here to get rid of my mother and you're here to talk about your ex-husband. So why don't we just call it over easy and be done with it?
Okay, you know what? I'm gonna give you an answer to that question, even though I don't think you'll understand it, and I definitely don't think you deserve it.
On you right now, I don't deserve it.
Okay.
You don't have to tell me.
You don't fix the egg. It doesn't matter who twisted it. It's broken, and you gotta let it go. And once you've truly bid that egg farewell, you'll find a new egg.
Thank you. That was, I really just need the check right now. I don't think I can hear about the egg anymore. I'm sorry.
All right. I was gonna split the bill with you, but now I'm not, so thank you.
Fair. Good luck with your egg, hon.
Thank you.
She leaves. At the townhouse, Helen has dinner with Paul and Andre, Calvin and Miles.
Well, I'm so glad we just finally get to sit down and have a meal together. Mm. And did I mention that Paul has never officially come out to me?
Shame on you, Paul.
You know, what is this bullshit about having to come out? It's not like straight people have to gather their families around the table when they're 18 and find a way to break it to them that they're heterosexual, thank you. So why is it any different for us? Why can't parents just see what they see and figure it out for themselves? It is not a sin, and it is not something I need to confess.
Shut up and tell her she deserves the truth.
Do it now!
This is really good, Helen.
Aww.
Mom?
Yeah?
I'm gay.
You're what? I support you and I love you. Oh, yeah.
All right, kiss her already.
No. I'm not going to go kiss her.
Get up.
Kiss your mother.
Walk over to your mother and kiss her the way you're supposed to. Kiss.
Here I come.
Oh.
Beautiful.
Just made my night. Now all you have to do is tell your father.
Oh, I told him a long time ago.
What?
Well, I mean, a while ago.
How long ago?
I don't know, a few years.
Why did you tell him and not me?
I figured you knew.
So I'm punished for being perceptive. I would like to know why he got to have the conversation and I didn't.
Mom, you just forced me to come out to three men who know I'm gay. There's no way that this moment wasn't going to be about you. So maybe this is the exact reason why.
This has nothing to do with you coming out to me. It has nothing to do with that. This is about how you treat me and your father. I mean, is he always the one that is going to
Mom, there is no you and my father. You're divorced. There is me and him. And there is me and you. But there is no you and him. And I am not willing to be the you and the him, which is what you have always wanted, which is why you are blowing up now.
There is a me and a him because there is a you. And you are just like him. Exactly like
him. You know what? Please do not compare me to someone you despise, Mom. How about that, huh?
I gotta go make a phone call.
Calvin and Andre leave.
Oh.
Miles collects his dinner plate and wine before following them out. Carol and Jillian on the phone.
Am I interrupting?
No, Dan wasn't home yet.
Oh, neither is Matt. I feel like I'm being stood up and all of Tribeca knows it.
Oh, these windows.
Oh, stop complaining. I'm in a basement apartment. All I see are cockroaches
and feet.
Oh. I'll call you later if there are any new developments.
All right. Night.
Andre comforts Helen.
I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry. There's nothing to be sorry
about. I get emotional.
I know.
Paul comes to the living room doorway with his hands on his hips.
Andre said that I ruined your life and you hate me for it.
Yeah, that's Helen. No. That's no. No, I said.
It is when I was chopping cucumbers. That's what...
I kind of said you have some abandonment issues because of her. That's all you told. Okay.
Andre lets go of Helen's hand and moves to a nearby sofa. Paul sits on a matching sofa with Helen. She has her back turned to him as she cries.
Mom.
Yeah.
Hey. He taps her on the shoulder.
Yeah. I love you.
She turns to him and smiles affectionately through her tears.
I would do anything for you. And you know that.
I would like to stay here for a few nights, if that's all right.
Well, there's not really a guest room.
It's okay.
Carol sits at Matt's desk, sketching a view of neighboring buildings as seen through a large arched window. Jillian paces around Daniel's apartment, drinking vodka and orange from a mason jar. She sits on the couch and sneers at a book entitled The Plague that she picks up from the coffee table. Then she opens his laptop and browses through happy photos of Aaron and him.
I'm telling you, I won't make it another year if I go all the way. I'm telling you, I can see all these things coming clear if we go on like this.
Carol leaps through a copy of All Balls magazine. She locates Matt's art director credit, then scans pages of scantily clad models.
Matthew Walton, Dartmouth graduate.
Jillian smiles wistfully at heartening photos on Daniel's laptop. Then she notices Aaron's scarf from the photos is hanging on a hook in the apartment. Carol is nursing a glass of white wine when Matt's elevator door opens. He and a young brunette emerge, kissing and petting and pulling their pants down. Carol recoils at first, then she calmly puts down her wine and takes a forkful of the meal she had prepared.
Good.
It smelled better at 6.
Mom! You were supposed to be gone.
Who said that?
I said lock up when you leave.
I didn't leave yet. Is this your girlfriend?
This is Angel. Angel, this is Mom.
Hi.
How long have you two been together?
A while. Been together for about 4 months now.
Oh, wow. Well, I'll make another plug.
No, you don't need to.
Thank you, Mrs. Walker.
Oh. You'll have to call her Mrs. Walker.
Thank you. Mom? Wow.
Daniel arrives home to find foil-covered dishes resting on his stovetop. He throws off his jacket and uncovers the homemade food.
How the hell did she?
He picks up a pie and digs into it with a fork. He shakes his head as he eats heartily.
No boundaries.
Matt's place.
So what do you do, Angel?
I'm still in school.
Oh, did Matt tell you that he went to Dartmouth?
No, that's amazing.
I might take a year off to travel before college. Maybe go to Europe.
So you're still in high school.
You were in a bar.
I'm 18.
You know, look it.
Next month.
17.
You never said that you were 17.
You've been dating for 4 months. You don't know how old she is?
Mom, you forced me to lie. You make it sound like I can't be in a long-term relationship.
I can't force you to do anything.
Look, I just met her tonight, okay, Mom? She was with friends drinking and I paid the bill.
I didn't come home with you because you paid the bill. He asked me to model for his magazine.
Oh. Because you said that you were a model.
I am. I used to model children's clothing.
Oh. When was that?
Last year.
I think that you should go.
Could you make sure she gets into a cab, at least?
You know what? I love to put both of you in a cab.
It was nice to meet you.
Good night, Angel. Happy birthday! Next month.
Boarding the elevator with Angel, Matt shrinks away from her advances. A view of the Statue of Liberty at dawn, then pedestrians passing through a peaceful park. In the townhouse, Helen is asleep on a living room sofa. Paul enters the kitchen dressed for work. Andre has a thermal travel cup ready for him.
I wouldn't have yelled at her if she were my mom.
You hate your mom.
Because she yells at me.
Okay. I will write her a note of apology. And I will invite her to lunch where I will apologize again. She doesn't really hear apologies the first time through. So.
Andre kisses his cheek, then hands him a pen and paper.
Oh, do we have a cross I can nail the note to?
Please just write the note. Please just write it.
In his studio apartment, Matt awakens to the noise of Carol clearing dishes.
Mom. Mom. Mom, I said I have somebody for this.
No, you said you do it.
He picks up a wine bottle and one glass.
I'm sorry about last night.
Why are you sorry?
Because it was embarrassing.
No, it wasn't embarrassing. Statutory rape, but let's not argue semantics.
It's never happened to me before, Mom. I mean, 17.
I am not interested, Matt.
What?
If you're gonna lie, I'm not interested.
I'm not lying.
I saw your magazine. It is not about sports.
Well, I never said that it was.
You said you work for a men's magazine called All Balls. What, I was supposed to think scrotum?
A, that is not a word that I need to hear out of my mother's mouth. And B, you are not the demographic.
Well, that much is clear, so now I know the truth about you.
My job has nothing to do with that girl being underage. Young. Younger than she has a right to be.
So how old is she, do you think?
I don't know, Ma.
Well, you're the editor.
I'm the art director. I design the look and the feel of All Balls. The magazine.
So it reflects your taste.
It's my job, Mom. A job that I am very good at, to tailor the content to our audience. And our audience happens to be young men, and young men like young women. But this is not a magazine for Under the Mattress, Mom. We are Vanity Fair with half the brain and twice the body. We are totally mainstream.
Well, your father and I didn't raise you to be mainstream. We raised you to be exceptional. If your father were alive...
Boy, he'd be disappointed. Because God forbid I ever live up to his standards, right? But he's not here, Mom. So why are you still taking his side?
What are you talking about?
How come you never came to any of my basketball games?
That was your time with your father. He was the coach, you were the star. I still have every trophy, and you have to know how proud I was of every single win.
Well, what about when we lost?
Well, you didn't lose very often.
No, I didn't lose very often because according to Dad, failure wasn't an option. But apparently now it is.
You are not a failure.
Oh, no, no, I know that I'm not a failure. So why are you still lecturing me?
I just want you to expect more from your life. Make the most of your time on this planet.
I'm not the one who's still living in the same house.
Daniel knocks at Jillian's hotel room. She tucks a vodka bottle under her pillow before hopping out of bed.
Ma, did you break into my apartment and steal my vodka?
Vodka? It's crazy talk. Hey, we were supposed to have dinner. I baked you a pie.
I was on your date last night.
What? How was it?
I'd rather be bitten by the dog again.
Hopes for that girl from Yonkers. You know, sometimes it's the second day where the magic happens.
Carol folds up the sofa bed at Matt's place. Behind her, a shelving unit is full of pristine athletic shoes. He wears a designer suit.
You want to meet me at the Met after work?
I can't. I have a party at One Oak tonight. A product launch for a shampoo body wash.
Oh, well, mother's invited?
No. I mean, no. No, it's guest list only. And you got an RSVP. It's not even a party. Okay, it's work. And I shouldn't have even said that it was a party.
He gives her an awkward hug and kiss. He heads for the door, and she sits on the sofa with her phone.
It's good to see you, Mo. Love you. And if you decide to leave, just lock up. Like I said.
I'm not leaving.
Okay.
Later, in an uptown boutique, Jillian and Helen help Carol buy a dress.
What do we know about this party?
There's a list, apparently.
For a shampoo?
Carol tries a low-cut dress.
I feel naked.
Oh, my. Where have you been hiding those?
Try to de-emphasize.
Why? They're spectacular.
Oh, is this appropriate, you think?
That dress or crashing your son's work party?
Oh. Matt brought home a girl almost half his age.
Well, Larry married a girl almost half his age. It's just what men do.
Oh, how about these? Matt, he doesn't listen to me anymore. So I'm trying to listen to him. Trying to understand his life here, support what he wants. Is that going too far?
No. That is admirable. Yes. You should go to that party and you should wear this fabulous dress. And we should get your hair done.
Next, they spy on Erin at work in a salon.
Okay, well, is she any good?
Hello. Carol, it's time.
Time for what?
A new look.
Yeah.
Now, come on. I gotta meet Paul for lunch at 1.
In the salon.
Hi, I'm Erin.
Oh, hello.
Can I see you brought your girl? Oh, my gosh.
Oh!
Mrs. Lieberman.
How crazy. Erin, yes, it's Jillian, and this is Carol and Helen.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, I know this is weird.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but it was Carol. Carol wants a makeover.
No, I did not say makeover. Okay. Look, I'm going to a party tonight.
Okay.
But first things first, I need to know, what is your experience with my texture of hair?
Oh, yeah. I do all types of hair.
See? You're the perfect stylist. Perfect.
Carol is seated in a stylist chair. Erin drapes a plastic cape around her and swivels her chair to face a mirror.
Does Daniel know you're here?
No. This is all me. But I remember that you'd mentioned the salon when we had brunch that one time.
Right. And then you asked me what I wanted to be when I grew up.
Jesus. Did I? Eek. Oh, I'm so sorry. Anywho, let's just get Carol started.
Oh, no rush. Let's not cut angry.
I'm sorry. Did I say that I'm sorry?
Yeah, no, 3 times now. So I think we're good.
Erin clasps Jillian's hand.
Okay.
So, Carol.
Yes.
Are you open to a new shape?
Well,
she is.
Well, nothing severe. You know, Finn always loved my hair just the way that it is, so.
Well, you have a beautiful face.
Oh.
We should frame your face. And I think we gotta rock these curls.
Later, while Carol sits under the dryer, they all smile and chat and toast with champagne. When Erin finishes styling, Carol displays a shoulder-length mane of tight curls.
What do you think?
No.
Oh, really? Was it that time?
Erin, thank you. I love it.
I just helped you be you.
Erin, no, I really have to apologize.
Again?
Yes, again. I should have tried harder before. Listen, maybe I could take you and Daniel out to lunch, and or maybe you could do my hair.
So now you volunteer.
Thank you. You know, I'm actually moving next week.
What? Why? Where?
My friend has a salon in Los Angeles, so I'm gonna try the other coast. But it was so good to see you again. And enjoy your party, Carol.
Well, how can I not now?
Thanks to meet you, Erin.
How is he?
He's, yeah, well, you know, been better with you. He was better.
Till I broke his heart.
She holds back tears.
But he broke mine first. So we're even. He did.
Afterwards, the three mums sit at a bar in a bright, swanky restaurant.
One thing I do know, problem is not that I meddled, it's that I should have meddled sooner.
I wouldn't tell him that.
Oh, there's Paul. There's Paul.
Oh, look at him, he's so handsome.
Okay, we're not even here. Yes. Go enjoy your apology.
Oh, I don't want him to see us.
We're middle-aged women in Manhattan. We're practically invisible.
A hostess seats Helen and Paul.
Thank you.
He holds her chair for her.
Thank you. You were so thoughtful. With the note?
Oh.
Was that Andre's idea?
He orders a drink.
Excuse me?
Yes?
I'm gonna have what she's having without the taunting. Listen, I'm really sorry I attacked you last night about Dad. Yeah. Okay?
Yes.
Sorry. It's just not my problem if you can't let go. Oh, I usually get the fish.
Carol and Jillian watch them from the bar.
So?
What do you mean I can't let go?
I'm just saying that's the issue.
Well, you're absolutely wrong. I am happily married to someone I am in love with.
I will believe anything you tell me.
Please stop patronizing me. Thank you.
Enjoy.
Thanks.
A waitress serves bread.
I'm not patronizing. I'm apologizing.
So accusing me of having a sham marriage is what you call an apology?
I'm not accusing you of anything. I'm just trying to apologize.
You know, this is what you always do. You always make some outrageous accusation, and then you act as if I'm being hypersensitive to notice that you've said it.
It's a small thing. It's a tiny observation. It's something that was obvious to me. Mom, if I was wrong, you wouldn't be so upset. Mom! Oh, my.
We should go. Don't.
Helen storms out.
We should go.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Carol Walker?
Carol leaves and Jillian stays behind. Then Carol and Helen return.
Oh.
Jillian Lieberman.
I don't know why she didn't tell you that we're in town, but I certainly wouldn't use the word conspiracy.
My feelings, or lack of them, toward my husband and my ex-husband are really none of your business.
Well, I didn't say they were.
That was meant for me.
Oh.
And you have no place speculating on what I may or may not be thinking or feeling, especially when your speculations are inaccurate and deeply hurtful.
You are absolutely right.
Subject closed.
Thank God.
Yeah.
I think Carol and I should get going now.
Well, there's one more thing I wanted to tell you. Just get everything out on the table. Didn't want you to hear it from somebody else or somebody else's son. Or if I even needed to tell you, because it doesn't really involve you.
Just come on, spit it out.
I might not have children of my own.
That much I figured.
Gay people have children all the time, Mom.
Do you want children?
No,
oh.
I do not. The point is that gay men have sperm and lesbians have wombs, and we don't need straight people to tell us what we can or can't do.
What?
This is why I didn't want to tell you.
You are too young to make a decision like this.
A decision like what?
Two mommies and a sperm daddy, right?
Mom, what I'm saying is, if I lent my sperm to two women that I knew and trusted, then I would know that the child would be loved and cared for.
Are you saying you weren't loved? Are you trying to make me feel guilty?
This has nothing to do with you. This is about me.
And the gift you're giving your friends.
Yes, the gift I am giving my friends, which I feel good about because I love them and they love the baby.
As the scene escalates, patrons turn and look.
Did he say baby?
You have a baby?
There's a baby?
What did you think we were talking about?
I thought we were talking about sperm. A baby takes 9 months. Okay. You've kept this from me for 9 months?
Mom, the more of a scene.
This has been a lovely lunch, even though we didn't have lunch. So don't get up. Please, just sit there and have more. Not your children, so I can have more. Not my grandchildren. And we can all get together for the holidays and have one big not happy, not a family, because I'm not a mother anymore. I'm an other, and now I am not a grandmother. I am a grandother.
Your hair looks very nice, Carol.
Well, thank you, Paul.
But that was not an apology.
I thought you didn't want to be your grandmother.
Well, I just don't want things to be taken away from me. I mean, now someone else gets my grandchild, just like someone else got my husband.
How did this become about Larry?
Because divorce is not fair. Divorce is great for men. They get someone younger, thinner, better, and women get someone older and fatter with thinner hair.
Sure. I got a text from Daniel. Stop calling me. Ugh. What should I reply?
Please, don't reply. Let's just go home before we do any more damage.
No, Carol, you and your boobs are going out, and I don't mean me and Helen.
Yeah, Carol, you go out and have fun. Mm. I wish Larry had died on me, too.
You should think more about what you say and less about what you feel.
So sorry.
What did I say? What?
Really?
At night, Carol sheepishly makes her way to the head of a dance club lineup, wearing her flattering, form-fitting new dress.
Excuse me. I'm a guest of Matt Walker. Do you have him on the list? He's all balls. The magazine.
It's a magazine.
Yeah, I know Matt. He's already checked in. He doesn't have a plus mom.
Oh, I'm his mother, Carol Walker. I have a driver's license. There. Oh, and a picture of Matt in the tub when he was three.
Does he have a Woody?
Oh no, that's a toy boat. Oh my God.
The door woman snaps a picture of it with her phone.
Oh. This is for Instagram.
Oh.
She's good.
Carol gains admittance and enters a large, dimly lit room crowded with trendy young professionals. She accepts a glass of champagne from a waiter's tray, then makes her way to the bar, where she stands and looks around. She notices Matt engaged in conversation across the room and smiles appreciatively. She gulps some champagne, then makes her way through the crowd, headed in Matt's direction. Drawing near, she smiles broadly. Turning away suddenly, she slams into a young black woman with a short haircut, spills her drink, and dabs her with a cocktail napkin.
Oh, I ruined your dress.
I'm so sorry. I never liked this dress.
Oh, it's all my fault. I'm running from my son.
I'm Julia.
Carol Walker.
Why are you running from your son?
Oh, he told me I couldn't come.
That's not nice.
Maybe it was. Maybe you knew everyone here would be 30 years younger and I would feel like the last dinosaur.
Jillian's hotel room.
Well, thank you, Damon. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
A bellboy delivers ice.
Damon.
Hey. Hey. Ooh. Would a grandma wear these?
No, especially not to bed.
We are not going to bed. We are going clubbing.
I didn't go clubbing when I was supposed to go clubbing. Would we even get into a club?
Well, I didn't think I'd get into these jeans, and look at me now.
Can you breathe?
Sporadically.
Come on, let's go downstairs. This hotel's supposed to be a huge party scene. Just call for a bellboy. One's more gorgeous than the next, and they come to you.
I know. You've called for ice twice. Just fuck one of them already.
What? I'm thirsty.
Come on. We are in New York City. Let's go. Oh, my God.
Okay. Let me take a shower.
Back to Carol and Julia.
I think this might be him.
Is he the most handsome guy in the room?
He's got swagger.
They observe impeccably dressed Matt chatting with some women.
That's him. I can't talk to him right now. Matt has never seen me drunk. So, tell me more about this nonprofit that you're working with.
It's called micro-lending.
we provide small loans for the world's poorest of the poor, mostly women, so they can work their own way out of poverty.
I want you to give my son a child. Matt, you may seem vain and superficial and so afraid of any real emotion that it makes you cry. But he's basically good. He has it in him to be a really good man. I need you to show him how to be that man. I think we should get you home.
Let's dance.
I used to love to dance.
She beelines it for the dance floor. Julia follows reluctantly. Then they dance together.
Matt's dad used to take me dancing. He's dead now. That's why he stopped.
Matt spots Carol and marches up to her.
Mom! What are you... What is all this? What happened to your hair? No, Mom, you did not have those this morning.
He points at her cleavage.
I'm Matt. I'm in love with Julia. I love her. I think you might too.
Julia shifts awkwardly as Matt gapes at the two of them.
Okay, let's go for her hand. She is my mother.
Dancing does not make you a lesbian. Your dad liked lesbians, by the way. I found his videos after he died.
Please stop talking and dancing. Let's just get you into a cab.
You get into a cab. I'm having dessert.
She eats a bonbon from a tray.
Oh, I may stay out all night. I may drink from a shoe. I was a girl before I was your mother.
Jillian's hotel room.
All right, does his outfit work? I mean, outside Poughkeepsie.
Dressed up and ready to go out, Jillian finds Helen asleep on the bed. She answers a call from Carol.
Hey.
Jillian. Oh, I need my friend.
They all go out for pizza.
He barely recognized me.
Because of your new look?
No, because I was having fun.
That's what we were supposed to do.
You passed out. By the way, you have incredible new beauty products.
Yeah, it's all anti-aging.
Why is everyone anti-aging? You know what's anti-aging? Death. Let's be happy we're aging.
Yeah.
By the way, do you know how long it's been since I have had
sex?
I was gonna say pizza.
Oh.
Oh.
Carol savors a big bite.
I'm not going home tonight. I mean, Matt's home. I'm on vacation.
So we're done with the mission.
We have a new mission. Dance. Till dawn.
Did we fail the first mission?
Fuck the first mission.
What about the boys?
The boys?
Man, I love you, Carol.
In a nightclub, they dance unreservedly and drink several rounds of shooters. Giddily, arm in arm. Helen plucks a lit cigarette from a restaurant worker taking a break in a doorway and walks away with it. Carol sits down at a patio table with three young guys who smile and laugh. Next, the three mothers sit on a bench laughing and eating ice cream. In the morning, Matt awakens in his bed. He gets up slowly and goes to answer the door.
Yeah.
Wearing boxers and a muscle shirt, he cracks the door open and peers out at Julia.
Oh,
It's you.
He opens the door wide, and she steps inside.
Your mother left this in the cab?
Carol's cell phone.
Thank you.
Do you know where she is?
Sleeping. It's early.
Is she?
Isn't she?
This isn't where I dropped her. I got your address from her phone.
He checks around the corner and finds the sofa bed still folded up as a couch.
Ma? Hey, where did you drop her?
At a pizza place in the village. She was meeting friends.
She doesn't eat pizza. She doesn't have any friends in the village. And the hair and the dress, it's like she wanted people to look at her. And that's not my mother, okay? She doesn't even like dancing.
She loves to dance.
He dials up Carol, and her phone rings in his hand.
My name and number are on a napkin in the phone case. I'd like to know she's okay.
A little old lady gets off the elevator with cleaning supplies.
Wait. Hey. Hi, Mrs. D. Julia. Look, thanks. That was nice.
Great photo on Instagram, by the way.
The mums are passed out in Jillian's hotel bed.
Is that someone knocking? It's just my head pounding.
You go, Jill. Go.
What?
Jillian answers the door with her t-shirt on backwards, and the three sons file in.
What is it?
Hey, Mom.
What?
Yeah. Mom. Mom. Is this why you couldn't make a call? Your new friend dropped us off.
We were worried.
Did I invite any of you in?
Did we invite any of you to New York?
Okay, could everyone just please stop shouting? I have a hangover.
Yeah, Mom, that's what happens when you get drunk at my work party. And now there is a naked picture of me on Instagram.
I had nothing to do with a naked picture.
In the tub?
Oh, yeah. Well, I just showed one person.
We're allowed to be in New York.
I had no idea where you were last night.
I had no idea I had a grandchild, so we're even.
I told her.
See, Paul talks to his mom. Why did you break up with Aaron?
Ma, yesterday you told me you were checking out. Why are you still here again?
Wait, hang on. You've been in a hotel?
Why? Is that a crime?
Why didn't you stay in a hotel?
Well, Helen and Jillian wouldn't let me.
Why? What's wrong with a hotel?
Well, I'll tell you what's wrong with this one. The security stinks.
Would you put on a robe at least?
Oh, what do you care? You're gay. Here.
You know what? I'm gay, not blind.
Okay, Matt, I'll see you at home.
Your home is in Poughkeepsie.
That's not nice.
I'm sorry.
The sons gape at Helen's erect nipples protruding through her shirt. Afterwards, in the hallway.
Well, I've wanted to see those since I was 10.
Those are some nice titties.
Can we talk about something other than my mother's breasts?
Oh, she's a lovely lady. How about we talk about where we're going to lunch?
How about we talk about Woody Walker?
Oh, my God.
You should be proud. It was a toy boat. Penis-shaped toy boat?
70,000 likes?
Oh, let me see that.
Helen returns to the townhouse with several shopping bags.
I am so mad at her.
Just breathe. Stop.
She removes dark sunglasses and peers at Matt.
I forgive you.
Okay, good.
She takes Andre's cup of coffee.
Did you tell Larry he has a grandchild?
Hey, I'm gonna go to the store.
Yes, and he respected my decision.
I'm sure he did.
It does not matter anyway, Mom. Dad does not have a grandchild. You do not have a grandchild.
No.
I do not have a daughter. This was sperm only.
Oh, Paul, it's a girl.
A weary Carol arrives at Matt's place with a couple of shopping bags.
I'm going home. I shouldn't have come.
What did you think was gonna happen, Ma?
I thought you wouldn't let me in.
That was an option?
You're popular. You're successful.
Ma, you make it sound so depressing.
No, this is what's supposed to happen to children. You're fully independent.
Why does it feel like we're breaking up?
Matthew, I need to tell you something. Your dad didn't want me at your games. That's why I didn't go. I thought he drove you too hard, and we would argue about it. And finally, he said, well, stop coming if it bothers you. And so I did. And then all the trophies started rolling in, and I thought he was right. And I was wrong. And now it turns out that I was right. And what's so ironic is that you did need me then and you don't need me now.
I'm fine. I turned out fine, right?
Matthew, you know who you are without me. I need to figure out who I am without you.
She kisses his cheek, caresses his hair, collects her bags, and walks off. In a baby clothing store with Carol and Jillian, Helen grabs numerous items and stuffs them into a shopping basket.
So apparently, the one who didn't carry the baby is saying that her mother is the daddy granny. So I'm not anything. And they even had the gall to tell Paul they didn't want me to even see Ella.
Well, what changed their mind?
Nothing. And you know what is most unfair? I always wanted a girl. Larry was one and done, but I would have had three if he hadn't been...
Wait. Why are we here if you can't see the kid? I could be hijacking Aaron's moving van right now. It's not a perfect plan, but it's a plan.
I thought we were going home.
Yeah, we are. We're just stopping in Cobble Hill first. I convinced Paul to give me the address, and I don't want to show up empty-handed.
Well, we weren't wanted by our sons. That didn't stop us.
Yeah. I am so tired of being stopped. Larry said if it meant so much to me to have a girl, I should have had twins.
Larry. Enough with Larry. We never want to hear his name again. We never even liked him. Look, you've been divorced from that idiot for 11 years. You still talk about him in the present tense. You're wasting a good marriage because you refuse to let go of a bad one.
What about baby yoga mat?
Are you jealous? Is that what this is about?
What?
You're jealous that I'm the one that has a grandchild?
Oh, Helen. Oh, what? We are thrilled that you get to meet Ella today. I think what Jillian is trying to say is that you have something special in Frank. The way he looks at you, the way he talks about you. You have no idea how fortunate you are to have Frank instead of Larry.
Jealous of you? Paul went in a room and jerked off. If that makes you a grandmother, then we're all grandmothers.
Let's stop. All right? We've already pissed off our sons. We are all that we have left.
Jealous? Oh, my God. What is wrong with you, Helen?
Okay. I'm going to tell you what's wrong. And it has been brewing for 11 years. You know why I divorced Larry, right?
Yeah. He cheated on me.
Yeah, it was that year our husbands went on that fishing trip to the Berkshire.
Okay, Helen, you win.
And Larry had a fuck buddy up there, and I found out about it, and I had the courage and the self-dignity to leave. He was paying her rent from Paul's college fund. She was an anorexic blonde vegan, and she had a friend for Jillian's husband. Joel cheated on Jillian just like Larry cheated on me, but she forgave him.
I don't expect you to understand why I forgave Joel, because the only person you've ever truly loved is yourself. Not Larry, and not Frank, and not Carol or me or your new sperm daughter, not even your own son. The only person you ever loved was you.
Okay, well, if you are so much better at loving, then why is your son the one who's broke, depressed, and jobless? I'll tell you why. Because you sabotaged his chance at happiness.
That is bullshit, and you know it.
Is it? He had a ring. But you planted so many doubts, not just about Aaron, but about himself, so that when he finally had the balls to propose, he caught Aaron stooping her trainer.
I think Daniel would have mentioned...
He didn't want to give you the satisfaction. You hated Aaron until 10 minutes ago. Paul told me.
Did you know about this?
Jillian turns to Carol.
I think Matt mentioned something once about a ring. Helen, about that fishing trip.
Carol, let's just go
and
now.
And Paul jerked off to create a person.
Helen, in the Berkshires. Did the vegan have someone for Finn?
I'm sorry, she was full of friends.
All this time, and neither of you said anything to me. And I thought we were friends.
Carol leaves.
You're taking a train home.
Jillian follows her out.
Oh, Please don't leave.
Let me drive.
You guys, I'm sorry. Carol, I'm sorry. Jillian, wait. Don't leave. Oh. That was bad.
Alone in his apartment, Matt is bathed in sweat while cycling on a stationary bike. His eyes land on a copy of All Balls resting on the desk, a blonde in a bikini posed on the front cover. He stops cycling, crosses to the desk, and flips through page after page of near-naked models in seductive poses. He notices Carol's impressive pencil sketch on an all-balls notepad. He chuckles as he looks out the window and compares it to the actual view. Jillian arrives at Daniel's place.
Open the door, I'm gonna start singing.
Do you need directions home? I can show you how to Waze.
I don't want the government tracking me. Would it kill you to answer your phone?
I've been working.
On what?
My novel. I finally got inspired. It's about an overbearing mother. It's called Baking and Entering.
Daniel, this is important. Do you still have the ring?
What ring?
The one you were planning on giving Aaron. Honey, why didn't you say anything?
Well, you never liked her anyway, Ma, so what's the difference?
Well, what do I know? I'm just some weird internet stalker. And I was wrong.
I always wondered what it would be like to hear you say those words, and as it turns out, you were actually right, so.
No. She's a lovely woman, and you're a lovely man. So if you have that ring, and if she is the love of your life, then do something before it is too late. Because for all you know, she might be packing her bags and leaving town or something.
She drapes the scarf around his neck and kisses his cheek.
I love you. You're a grown man. I just hope you do what is best for your life and your future.
Did you see her somewhere or something? Ma, wait. Mom, did you break into her place too?
Helen sits in a park with her dark glasses on, peering out from behind an armful of gift bags. She perks up attentively when a mid-30s fit blonde woman emerges from a nearby townhouse and eases a baby stroller down the steps. Helen ducks behind her bags as the woman pushes the stroller into the park. Then Helen darts around erratically, attempting to stay out of sight while following the mother and child on their walk. Helen ducks behind flowers and hedges, peeks out, and walks sideways. When the woman looks in her direction, she suddenly stands erect and turns away nonchalantly. The woman sits down on a park bench and rocks a stroller in front of her. Helen pokes out from behind a tree. She walks by casually, waves at someone in the distance, then sits on a neighboring bench and turns her back to the woman.
Is there a reason you're following me? Paul said you wouldn't listen to us.
It's okay, Amy.
What is it that you want?
I don't want anything. I'm not asking for anything. I'm just saying what I am. A grandmother.
She has grandmothers.
Helen deposits her batch of gift bags between them on the sidewalk.
I brought a few hundred gifts.
Look, we talked about this before the birth. We adore Paul. We do, and we want Ella to know Paul. We hope she gets some of his great qualities. That's why we chose him. But he's not the dad. He's a sperm donor, okay? We all agreed. We signed papers. But now that I have her, now that I know what it feels like when she has a baby, if she has a baby, if I couldn't see that baby, I'd probably probably chased that baby all over the city, too.
Helen looks on longingly as the woman takes a brown-eyed baby girl into her arms.
She looks just like Paul did.
Would you like to hold her?
Helen immediately drops her purse and stands up, her mouth agape, as she takes Ella into her arms. Jillian and Daniel sit on the grimy stoop outside his apartment.
Honey, 5 weeks is not late. 5 weeks is abandonment. Sounds like she waited a long time for you.
All right, Ma. You know what? You and Dad have got your perfect story, so you wouldn't...
No, there is no perfect story. In fact, years ago, your father had an infidelity.
They exchange uncomfortable looks.
Before I was born or after?
You were 16.
How did you forgive him?
It wasn't easy. I went crazy for a little while. I went on this Pacacta 5-week egg diet. You remember?
Yes, I do. You were like, you wanted chickens or something.
Yeah.
A chicken coop?
But I realize I still wanted your dad. And I decided to do the harder thing instead. But I think what really made it possible for me to forgive him was... he never fully forgave himself.
Mom, I really admire you. And I get why you're sharing this story with me. I just don't think I'm built like that.
This is your life. This big, bruised, bloody, beautiful thing. This is your life. I'm not going to tell you what to do.
Since when?
Since today.
Okay.
Daniel, hey, you have been under the water for a long time. But when you come up, you need to decide what life you want.
He nods pensively.
You got this. I love you.
She kisses him and leaves.
Mom, I think I'm locked out of my apartment.
Use the window, that's what I do. I'm out!
She heads for her car, parked across the street. Carol arrives at her large, luxurious home, drops her suitcase in the entrance hall, and shuts the door. She sits on a living room couch, removes her sunglasses, sighs heavily, and hangs her head. She looks from a bowl full of colorful fishing lures on the coffee table to a prized swordfish mounted above a fireplace, to a fish trophy on a shelf with sports trophies below it. Then she glares at the swordfish. She carries the immense, rigid swordfish across a patio and throws it in her swimming pool. She returns for the fish trophy and tosses that in too. Upstairs, she maneuvers a large mattress onto a balcony. Then she shoves it over a railing onto the patio below. Helen enters her contemporary mansion, kicks off her heels, and drops her keys on a sculpted plastic chair. She carries her designer bag into a sitting room, where Frank is lounging on a sofa, reading.
Hi.
You're back.
She drops her bag and smiles sadly.
Oh, what's the matter, sweetheart? You and Paul have a fight?
Oh, several. And Jillian and Carol. We didn't even drive back together. Everyone is sick of me, and so am I. Frank, why did you marry me?
Well, I think what everybody wonders is why you married me.
No, really. Why?
You're kind. And you're smart. You're funny as hell. You have a lot of love to give.
I do, right?
Yes. And you're opinionated, passionate. Sometimes you have sharp edges, and I like them. You tell it like it is.
My looks?
Oh, you think I married you for your personality? You come in a very beautiful package. But that's not all there is to Helen Halston.
I am so lucky. I'm so...
They kiss and embrace.
Oh, really?
Yes, we're doing it.
In a diner, Matt sits at the bar nursing a glass of beer. He smiles sheepishly as Julia arrives and stands before him.
Thanks for coming.
Your text wore me down.
He gestures to the stool beside him.
Did you bring a pen?
He pulls a pen from a pocket, then she smiles and sits down. Now Carol gets a delivery of blue irises.
Hey, Miss Walker. More flowers.
Oh, it must be some mistake. I didn't order any flowers.
Oh, there's a note with them.
Back to the diner.
Her favorite flower is an iris.
Well, thank you, Sean.
And I know that because she told me when she asked me for the 10 things that I know about it.
Then you can't use it.
What? Yes, I can. It's a freebie.
If you can't think of 10 things that you honestly know about your mother without one of them being something that she flat out told you, then you're a shitty son.
I am not a shitty son.
Then think about why you love her and write it down.
He makes notes on a pad of paper.
I know she loved my father. He wasn't that lovable. He was always working. Even when we played, it was work. So my mom was the one who taught me how to have fun. When I was a kid, she used to read me these bedtime stories, and she'd pretend there was one more page. And we'd make up a new ending.
Julia takes him in appreciatively as he reminisces.
Write that down.
Yeah. She did a lot of art when I was a kid. Pen and ink note cards, oil paintings from photographs. This one time she did this great mural on my wall.
Carol reads a handwritten list included with the flowers.
1, you loved my father. 2, you taught me how to have fun. 3, you could have been an artist.
4, she thinks you're a good person.
No, she doesn't.
She told me.
She told you that she thinks that I'm good?
You could write that she's the only person in the world who thinks you're good.
I never knew that she thought that. 4, you're the only person in the world who thinks I'm good. 5, you made me feel loved and safe. 6, you cut up fruit for my snacks, even when I begged for junk food. 7, you still call me, even when I ignore you. Thank you. 8, the only times I've ever seen you angry are times you deserved to be angrier. 9, you love to dance. 10, you're my mother. 11, you taught me there is room in every story for a better ending.
Carol's eyes well up with tears. Daniel stands on a city street, tucked behind a corner fruit market. He watches Aaron shut the cargo gate on a rented moving van and head for the driver's seat.
Aaron!
He heads for the van with her scarf in hand.
Aaron! Aaron!
The van pulls away and he runs after it.
Aaron! Aaron!
She notices him in the rearview mirror.
Aaron, wait up!
She stops. He catches up, and they talk through the open window.
I need to get to the gym more often.
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
I'm moving to LA.
Well, can I talk to you first?
About what?
About us.
Oh, my. It's too late, Daniel. My whole life is in this truck.
That's funny. I was just thinking the same thing.
You're not gonna stop me.
Okay.
Okay.
He pulls our door open.
Can we talk on the way?
You don't have anything to do?
Please.
You're gonna drive me to LA.
I'm coming to LA. I'm coming with you.
Traffic backs up behind them.
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry too. Do you know how to drive one of these?
I have no idea what I'm doing.
Picturesque scenes of a wide river with lush mountains in the background. A train travels alongside, then moored sailboats dot the surface. 1 year later, at Jillian's country home, Paul and Andre are gathered with toddler Ella and her two moms.
Hey, where are you going?
I swear she looks like both of you.
To be honest with you, she looks like your mother.
Acts like it.
Helen and Frank arrive.
Speak of the devil, or angel, depending on who you ask.
Oh, Grandma loves Ella.
Hey, look at
Daniel pops his head into a den where Jillian is helping Aaron into a wedding gown.
Oh, this is kind of a complicated garment, isn't it?
My mother's at her son's semi-Jewish wedding and she's still complaining.
Okay, you're not supposed to see the bride before the wedding.
I know, but we broke a few rules already. I think we could break one more.
No, he's got a point.
Aaron turns to reveal a protruding pregnant belly. Jillian stops to straighten Daniel's tie before leaving.
Thanks, Mom. For everything.
Daniel takes in Aaron's pregnant form draped in the white satin gown.
No one's gonna notice. There's just one little thing, though.
It's too late for a thing.
I know, but this is really an important thing. I think we should rehearse the kiss again.
Jillian steps outside and frowns at the sight of Helen on her porch. Helen's family saunters away, leaving them alone.
Still so angry I can barely stand to look at you.
I know. Thank you for the invitation.
I invited Frank. You're his plus one.
Did you get my messages?
Yeah, about 20 of them. Did you get my texts?
Stop calling me. You know, I am kind of responsible for this whole wedding. I mean, if we hadn't gone to New York.
So now we're considering that trip a success?
Well, look at where we are. And Carol's in Italy.
She didn't even RSVP.
She's probably too busy painting, eating pizza, taking Italian lovers. Oh. She's miserable since she sold that house.
Matt gets out of a car.
Don't start the wedding without us.
Oh, I knew she would come. I missed her so much more than I missed you.
Same here, only double.
Oh, it's just his date.
She's too old to be his date. She's like his age.
Julia climbs out of the passenger seat. Then Matt opens the rear door and Carol emerges, wearing her new hairstyle and a whimsical halter gown. Jillian and Helen run to her, and the three of them embrace.
There was cake, you know. Oh, you know, right. Oh, we missed you so much. Oh. You look so glamorous. By the way, I brought bourbon. Oh, no, not again.
Of course you did.
Credits appear over footage and snapshots of the characters dancing and interacting joyously at the outdoor wedding. Directed by Cindy Chupac. Screenplay by Mark Andrews and Cindy Chupac, based on the novel Whatever Makes You Happy by William Sutcliffe. Produced by Kathy Shulman and Jason Michael Berman. Music by Marcello Zarbos. Starring Angela Bassett as Carol, Patricia Arquette as Jillian, Felicity Huffman as Helen, Jake Hoffman as Daniel, Jake Lacey as Paul, Cinqua Walls as Matt, Heidi Gardner as Aaron, Stephen Kunkin as Joel, Damian Young as Frank, Afton Williamson as Julia, Frank DiGiulio as Andre. Becky Newton as Andrea. Mario Cantone as Calvin. Tim Bagley as Miles. Molly Bernard as Allison. And Emily Tremaine as Lauren. Title: Otherhood. Copyright 2019, Netflix US LLC, all rights reserved. On set, Carol and Helen are passengers in Jillian's car. A crewman reaches through the passenger window and dabs Carol's face. The car starts to rock and the three women dance and sing in their seats. Rocking the car, a video backdrop of New York City traffic behind the car, and a large crew of men and women dancing amid lights and booms. Thank you.
red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.